At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy Friday here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. I'm Frank Dish, along with David Paddock. We've got you here for the next hour talking fantasy sports with you. We'll help you set a DFS lineup for Western Conference NBA Finals game number 2, talk a little bit about what happened last night, and also get you ready for the weekend in Major League Baseball, Davis. But, of course, a lot happening in the NBA and in other sports last night as well, not to mention the complete and total dismantling of the Miami Heat by the Boston Celtics in Game 2. So now this series definitely takes a different turn as they head back to Boston.
It does. I mean, basically, the Boston Celtics just could not miss from three-point range last night. We got the news about an hour before tip that Al Horford was actually able to return from the COVID list and play in that game. That was pretty unexpected, and I think, you know, pretty unexpected to see them play so well without Derek White. Derek White, you know, not their best offensive player, but he's just kind of one of those, he's a glue guy, right? He is the NBA glue guy. He keeps the ball moving, plays great defense, and also just bizarre to see basically no second half comeback from the Miami Heat. I mean, at one point, the Boston Celtics went on a 51-17 run, and really there's no coming back from that. But that is the variance you get in these NBA games with three is greater than two, and if every shot you're taking is a three-pointer and you make 70% of them over a period, the scoreline is going to look pretty lopsided.
Yeah, definitely did yesterday. Never really felt like the Heat had a chance coming out of that second half for sure. But of course, they'll play game 3 in Boston. I still think that this is going to be an interesting series. But yeah, I mean, Boston now a very heavy favorite to advance to the NBA Finals. All right, let's get to our headlines here on the show. As we just mentioned, the Boston Celtics are winners last night. Al Horford comes back, Marcus Smart comes back, and the series is now tied up at 1. How about Trevor Story, who was having a rough season for the Boston Red Sox, and it shows you what 3 home runs can do in a single game. That changed in a big moment. 3 home runs, 7 RBI, stolen base, and a double for Trevor Story. Maybe this is the beginning of his breakout. Over at the PGA Championship, and we're going to dive into this a little bit more, Tiger Woods fires a first-round 74. Rory McIlroy is the leader. I'm noticing Justin Thomas, who's on the course, is also doing pretty well today. And if I'm not mistaken, I think wind is playing a large factor in this. I'll get Davis's thoughts on that in just a sec. And Jordan Addison announces officially that he is committed to USC. He was the number 1 wide receiver in the transfer portal. And boy, these NILs, Davis, day after day, the fighting, the arguing, going back and forth. More comments today from Nick Saban. I mean, this drama in college football is pretty incredible nonetheless. If you want, you could touch on that, but definitely want your opinion on second round coming up here at the PGA Championship.
So the weather is gnarly in Tulsa right now. It's sustained winds of over 20 miles an hour, gusts of up to 40 miles an hour. It stormed there overnight. However, the PGA Championship officials made the decision to not do anything to the greens overnight, didn't mow them, just kind of left them, let the grass grow in. And we are already seeing the impact of that. Guys are able to, I mean, the ball is sticking on the green a little bit more. You know, we've already had some of these par fives where no one was sticking on the green last night. We've already had a couple guys with eagle putts. Don't think we've had anyone make an eagle yet on the course, but I think that was a good decision by the tour officials. I mean, you don't want, or at least me personally, I don't want a U.S. Open situation where the course just feels unfair, where, you know, you can make an amazing shot, have the ball do exactly what you want, and get penalized due to unfair conditions. And, there was a huge wave split yesterday. The cumulative wave advantage between going off in the morning and in the afternoon was over a full shot between the morning and the afternoon wave. And I think that they needed to do something to even that out a little bit, and it does seem as if they have done that this morning.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I think everyone is following Tiger Woods today, Davis, but naturally over at a lot of the betting sites, I think he went from like 40 or 60 to one to like hundreds to one at this point. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess anything can happen, but, you know, certainly the goal of the weekend, thinking Tiger is going to be in some sort of contention, it doesn't feel like it's heading in that way. I don't know. Does it?
Well, he was not playing very well yesterday to begin with. He was minus two through five holes, but the first hole that these guys are playing is the easiest hole on the course. It's pretty much you hit a good drive, you hit a good approach shot, and you're going to have an 8-foot birdie putt. He got the birdie on that one. But I believe it was the eighth hole that Spieth, McIlroy, Woods pairing was playing. He felt something go in his leg, and it was pretty much downhill from there. By the time they got to 17, I mean, he was really feeling it. He was like your buddy who goes golfing with you once a year, and on the back nine, he's just like, I don't want to be here anymore. You know, swinging lazy, all his shots are going to the right because he's not turning all the way through. I don't think Tiger's going to make the cut, unfortunately.
All right. Makes sense. Golden State tonight against Dallas. Golden State -6.5. We got about a minute to go.
Yeah, I got Golden State here. I'm going to be on Golden State in this. And if I lose tonight, I lose tonight. But I'm going to be on them until they show that they can score on this team, because the Warriors defense is just so phenomenal. They clearly have a great plan against Luka. And I need to see him do something against that plan before I bet on them.
Yep, fair enough. -6.5. We won't talk about Davis's Colorado Avalanche, one of the biggest upsets in the Stanley Cup playoffs thus far. St. Louis going to Colorado, going to altitude and winning 4-1 in that game last night. How about that? All right, coming up next, Gray Albright will join us. We'll go over the MVP race in the American League. Also, a couple call-ups in Major League Baseball I want to touch on. So stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Time to dive into some fantasy baseball season-long style. Every Friday, we're joined by Gray Albright of Razzball.com. Joins us here on the show. You can follow him on Twitter at Razzball. We'll do some fantasy talk, some MVP talk as well. And Gray, great to have you here on the show on this Friday. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on there, Mesh? How you doing, man?
Oh, it is great to see you and great to talk to you here. I want to do a little fantasy, and then I want to talk MVP. Start off real quick. Let's do a minute or two here. It's like it's prospect season now, Gray. You know, like all of a sudden we turn to late May and June and guys start getting called up. And the St. Louis Cardinals called two of their players up. They called up Nolan Gorman and Matthew Liberatore. Gorman's going to play second. Liberatore's going to be in the rotation. I just need like a minute on what you think people should be doing, how they should be reacting this weekend in fantasy leagues.
Gorman is really interesting because he's got huge power. He could probably hit 35 homers right now. I don't know if he's also going to hit 180 because his strikeouts are so insane. Like in the minors, he had a 35% strikeout rate. If he is doing anything close to that in the majors, he's probably not going to hit 200. I don't know, maybe 215, 220 at the most. It's going to really be interesting how they, I'm guessing they're going to platoon him because the Cardinals have a ton of bats. So I don't really see him being super valuable in shallower mixed leagues, but in deeper leagues, I mean, everyone who's called up obviously is a grab. Liberatore is probably a little bit different in that he's going to have, you know, the NL Central gives you great matchups. So, you know, if he's going against the Pirates, I mean, what's not to love, really? You know, he could potentially be a 9+ K per nine, a 2.5 walk rate. I could see a low to mid 3 ERA with the central teams, and then bench him in bad matchups. But I like him. You know, rookie pitchers in general, are usually more of a headache than they're worth, but I would see about grabbing him in every league.
Okay, fair enough. Let's get to the most valuable player watch. Let's start off with the American League. And Gray, one of the fantasy MVPs thus far has to be Aaron Judge, hitting over 300 this season. He's already hit 14 home runs. He's driven in 30 runs. He actually has added a couple of stolen bases and is playing like a first-round pick in fantasy. You know, obviously the conversation is now built to around the possibility of him winning the MVP as well. How realistic do you think that is?
I would guess that he is probably the front runner for the MVP as of right now through the end of the season. If he stays healthy, outside of health, I really don't see any reason why he can't go on and have a great year. Like Aaron Judge and Giancarlo, his teammate, you know, they're kind of interesting in that, you know, right now the major leagues are dealing with a situation where everyone's talking about the dead ball and how the ball is just dying on the warning track. But Judge and Giancarlo, I mean, just from a physical prowess standpoint, you can see them hit the ball and they can hit it out of any park. You know, actually on Thursday, Giancarlo was the first visiting player to hit a run in Camden over the left field fence. I mean, they've moved the fence back in Camden so far. It's kind of crazy. But anyway, I mean, Giancarlo was the first visiting player to do that this year. Judge is another guy who can just hit it out of anywhere. So with the way the ball is not flying and how Judge is able to hit the ball, and if he can stay healthy, I would say he's probably 1-to-1 odds. Like, I would definitely say Judge is a great bet to win the MVP over just about anyone right now. I would be hard pressed to think of another guy who's even in the, you know, even close to as good of a bet as him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Ohtani, but, you know, clearly with him winning last year, there's always that lag in the second year. People don't want to give back-to-back MVPs unless the name is Bonds or Trout or something like that.
Right. Yeah. You know, with Ohtani, what really concerns me kind of is, well, A, I mean, the strikeouts always concern me a little bit with his hitting profile. But, you know, pitching and hitting, you know, every fifth day pitching and then hitting every day, I mean, that's got to be tiresome. I know, like, right now, like, he's like to be indestructible. And, you know, I don't want to jinx anyone, but man, imagining another season like last year from Ohtani, it's just such a grind for him to go out and play, hit every day, and then pitch every fifth day. So I don't know. I wouldn't put my money on Ohtani as MVP.
All right. Well, you know, I had the great year last year. We'll see if that changes this year. Now over in the National League, Gray, let's talk about Manny Machado, who's off to the best start of his career by far, by the way. 355 in this day and age, that's like hitting 600 in baseball, Gray. He's got 7 home runs. He's got 23 runs driven in. And all of a sudden, Manny Machado's dialed it back to like 2018. He's got 6 stolen bases here, Gray. So he's been a one-man show. I honestly don't even know. I've mentioned this before on the show, Gray. I don't know how the Padres are even like good. Like, honestly, like you look at their lineup and it's just miserable outside. I know Hosmer has had a really surprising good start. That's true. But Manny Machado, you talk about a one-man show right now for San Diego. Without Tatis, he's that guy.
Yeah, no, completely. I mean, you would, when Tatis went down, I mean, you would have expected Machado to pick up some of the slack, but he's essentially picked up all the slack. Like you said, I mean, outside of Hosmer, they haven't gotten anything from anyone. I mean, they've struggled so badly. They went out and got Robinson Cano. It's like, and they're playing him. I mean, they have literally nothing in San Diego. So if the Padres are able to make the playoffs, then, I mean, Machado's got to be a front runner for the NL MVP, I would think. You know, as of right now, like you said, he's hitting so well for average, but his BABIP is really high. It's over 400. His line drives are down a little bit. Like, in general, I think Machado's going to come back to earth. I wouldn't be surprised if we see when Tatis returns, you know, maybe he picks up some of that slack and Machado becomes closer to who we thought he was, which is like, you know, a 275, 280 hitter, which is totally fine. Not a bad hitter, but a lot different than what we're seeing right now. So I like Machado. I think he's going to come down to earth a little bit.
Yeah, seems reasonable. All right, let's wrap with Byron Buxton of the Minnesota Twins. Buxton, again, potentially in the American League. No one gets hotter than him when he's hot. 11 home runs, 20 runs driven in this season. And again, we're looking for advanced numbers to figure him out. That's always the way it is with Buxton. And of course, him being on the field is obviously the key, Gray. But look, at this point, with Judge performing like he is, and then again, I'm still going to not rule out Ohtani. By the way, I shouldn't rule out Trout either, not to mention that. I think if the Twins were to win the division, Gray, we'd have to take a really hard look at this with Byron Buxton. But, you know, I don't know. Can the Twins win the division? I mean, it feels like they're in it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably still say the White Sox are going to get it together at some point. I don't know. I mean, yeah, the Twins can win it. I would say the Twins probably on the basis of, like, how well they get from their pitching, really. But Buxton stays healthy. Like you said, Buxton staying healthy is really going to be a large part of, like, the equation on whether or not Buxton can win the MVP. I don't think he can. I mean, even the Twins right now are benching him. You know, I think they benched him 3 days this week. They're really trying to take it easy on him. The Twins manager, Beldaldi, said that Buxton's probably going to only play, like, close to 100 games this year, even if he stays healthy. I mean, 100 games really is not – it's not – you're not going to be able to get the counting stats. You're going to be lagging in, like, you know, compared to other people's numbers. Like, I just don't see it happening with Buxton. But, yeah, I mean, I like him, though, for when he's on the field. I think he's a superstar when he's on the field. It's just how often is he on the field.
Yeah. All right, Gray. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Thanks again for coming on.
Thank you.
All right, Gray Albright from Razzball. Follow him on Twitter at Razzball and the fantasy baseball website, Razzball.com. Coming up next, Jim Stanis, our buddy from FanDuel and NumberFire, joins us to talk about the NASCAR All-Star Race. Don't worry.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Of course, lots going on right now. We got the PGA Championship coming up this weekend. And the Preakness is on Saturday. We got the NBA, the NHL. We got Major League Baseball. I think I probably missed something. And that's why we have Jim Stanis on the show, because he talks about the things we missed. And this weekend, it is the All-Star Race in NASCAR. We'll get to that, talk a little DFS baseball as well. Jim, it is great to have you on once again. Hope your week has gone well for you.
It has gone well so far. It's even better knowing that I get to talk some DFS with you. That's always a delight. I get to watch an All-Star race this weekend. There's a Formula One race in Spain going on later on this weekend too. So it's a pretty fun week for sports. I'm pretty pumped for it. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to the weekend, no doubt. And a lot of action for me too, both on the DFS angle and the Little League angle too, Jim, I got to tell you. All right, so here we go. Let's take a look at – oh, you know what? Before we look at the pricing here, tell us about the All-Star race this weekend. This is a different type of deal here. I mean, I remember us talking about this last year a little bit, but
yeah.
Very cool event every year. What does it look like this year?
Yeah, it's actually different this year than it was last year even. It's a very unique event. So there are 125 laps in this race, which means there are 12.5 FanDuel points available for laps led, and that's less than you typically get, which means that there is less incentive to try to monopolize drivers at the front who are going to lead a lot of laps. But the key thing is the format here, because if you win that first stage, you will start on the pole for the final stage, which is the longest one, and that's 50 laps. So for me, I want to try to identify a driver who qualifies towards the front on Saturday night, who I think can win that first stage and start out front for the final stage too. I want to try to get at least one guy with the potential to do that in each lineup. After that, you have leeway for some place differential if it's available to you, because it is a shorter race, less upside for laps led. So I would get one guy you think you can win that opening stage and then try to get some place differential if you can. Now that may not happen because the first wave in qualifying is single car runs, which means the fastest cars should be towards the front. You don't want to roster guys in the back just because they're there. You do want guys who can get you good finishing points. So to me, one driver per lineup who can lead laps early and win that final stage, and then try to get place differential after that. It's also worth noting, Craig, that if a driver advances from the Open to the All-Star race, they will not be in the player pool on FanDuel. So Tyler Reddick, Eric Jones, guys like that will not be available. That's a good thing because it means you don't have to worry about them, but it also means that some of the laps led could go to drivers not in the player pool, which may whittle things down a bit more. So it's a very unique event in terms of how to play things. The winner might not be in the player pool, which is kind of weird. But for me, it's less of a headache to deal with not having to change my lineup after the Open race on Sunday night.
Interesting stuff. All right. Well, Jim does a great job of not ruining our graphics by giving away all the details. So let me ruin it for everyone right now on the non-spoiler alert. Here's the DFS pricing for the All-Star race this weekend. Kyle Larson is 13,500. Chase Elliott is at 13,000. Kyle Busch is at 12,500. William Byron is moving up on this list. That's for sure. He is 12,000 this weekend too. And Martin Truex Jr. is 11,500. So Byron is interesting to me, Jim. I mean, I guess he must be having a really good season for him to be in the top four here.
He's having a good season and he is awesome on this track type. Like, he's been good in Charlotte for a pretty long time. And last year during the All-Star race, it was basically the Byron and Larson show. Both those guys were fantastic for the All-Star race. And when they came back to Texas in the fall, they both had a top two average running position. So those were kind of the two guys at Texas last year. This year, Larson hasn't been nearly as dominant. And I think that's definitely noteworthy, but I've got him number one in my rankings for this week. I've got Byron number two. So your eye is correct that Byron's been very good this year, very good on this track type. And I think the broader thing here for me, Craig, is that Chevys and Toyotas in general have been the dominant teams on these lower tire fall off mile and a half tracks, which is basically now just Texas and Charlotte. And I think that's why I want to enter this weekend keeping a close eye on Ford. I want to see what their practice times look like Saturday. They weren't very fast this past weekend. This is not their kind of track type. It might just be a situation where I just load up on Chevys and Toyotas again. That could be with Larson and Byron, but also I like Martin Truex Jr. He is $11,500. He's been in good form, hasn't capitalized on that yet this year. Hasn't always done well in all-star races either, but I do think that in general, focusing on the Chevys, focusing on Toyotas, and potentially being skeptical of Fords may be the way to play things this week. But for me, Larson 1, Byron 2, everyone else filing in after that.
Fair enough. We've learned that I definitely pay attention to Jim, things that you say here on the graphics on this show. I think that we've learned from that. At least I feel much better about that. I've noticed something here on the NASCAR circuit. All right, now baseball, obviously, I'm paying close attention to, and love your thoughts on DFS action this weekend. Bryce Harper right now, Jim, if he didn't have this UCL issue with his arm, I mean, he would probably be the front runner to win back-to-back MVPs in the National League. But given the issue, he's been out for a few days. I know he's going to return eventually, and when he does, he's going to be fine. He's just going to play DH until July, and then he'll be back in the outfield. A lot of guys have this done. It's just to have it done in the midst of a season without any days off, I guess that's what's kind of caused the problem. We saw, by the way, the Phillies get shut out, Jim, yesterday without him in the lineup. Harper's having a great year, 305, 9 home runs, 27 runs driven in, stealing bases too. But when you're setting DFS lineups, is there any concern for this at all? Because if the Phillies have him in, I guess I can't be all that worried. Is that the approach?
Yeah, I initially wasn't worried for the reasons you mentioned. You know, if he's getting an injection, that's in theory to strengthen things, and that should be a good thing. And he was playing with this injury for a while, and like, he was disgusting. His numbers after the injury have actually been absurd. He has a home run in three straight games prior to the injection. And so I went into this thinking I wouldn't be too concerned. Their plan initially was to sit him on Sunday after the injection, then sit him Tuesday after their off day on Monday. Mm-hmm. The fact that this is bled into now Friday, that's where I get a bit concerned. Because, okay, the initial plan was to miss two games. Why is that now turned into four? That's why, to me, I am more concerned now than I thought I was going to be. It's not a situation where you avoid him. You know, if you like the spot, you like the situation, you can definitely still go there. But what I would say is it does add an element of uncertainty that I did not expect to be there. So, you know, if he's in the lineup Friday and he gets a couple of hard hit balls, cool. No more reservations. We're good to go at that point. But for right now, I would say it's at least gotten my attention. That, to me, that's always concerning when a guy he's held out longer than expectation. We've seen that with Harper. So wasn't initially concerned, but with how long this has been dragged out now, relative to what it was expected to be, that's where the red flags kind of go for me.
Yeah, I you know, honestly, probably more of a season-long question, I think, for Harper, too, because at some point, I'm thinking he's going to have surgery here. And if it comes in November, that puts him right on track, you know, for a March return, if that is indeed the case. But for DFS this weekend, Jim, I think that's a really good point. Got to really consider that. Kind of stunning that the Rockies, Jim, are just like hanging around 500. They've got nothing from Chris Bryant this season at all. I mean, it's really stunning that the Rockies are even in this point. I mean, most people thought that after Pittsburgh, Colorado would have the worst record maybe in Major League Baseball. They played okay with their replacements. Bryant is expected to come back up. Anytime we have games at Coors, it's obviously compelling. But I don't need to tell you, Jim, that it's really hard to trust guys coming off right off a rehab assignment because it could go one way or the other. It's usually not middle ground. It's usually they're on fire or they just don't hit at all. What do you think this weekend?
So I think there are two factors to consider here with regards to just in general a guy coming off an injury. The first one is what kind of injury is it? Because for hitters, I care a lot about like hand injuries. Those matter a lot for me. Side injuries matter a lot. And back injuries. And what does Chris Bryant have? He has a back injury. And that to me is a bit of a red flag because those are things that can drag on. Even when you come back, how effective are you going to be? That's where I kind of get a bit concerned there. So that's one thing. The other thing is, I do look at rehab stints, look at what guys have done down there. I want to see a low strikeout rate, meaning that they're seeing the ball well, and I want to see some power. Unfortunately, didn't get a lot of a sample for Chris Bryant in his rehab assignment. Only 7 plate appearances, just 1 strikeout, so that was good. It seemed like he was seeing the ball pretty well. Did have an extra base hit down there. So I think like in the very small sample in the rehab stint, things looked okay. So from that perspective, I'm okay with it. It's more so the fact that it is one of those, like, quote unquote, for me at least, a red flag injury. For lower body stuff for a hitter, I don't care too much unless it's like a base dealer type guy. But if it's a hand injury, if it's a side injury or a back injury, I always do play things a bit slower. I want to be aggressive when it comes to getting back on guys coming off of injury, but that's more so with guys who have lower body injuries that may not inhibit their abilities once they're fully back. Bryant does have one of those injuries that does concern me a bit. Also, it does help that it's very, very cold at Coors this week. Like, they're getting a snowstorm right now. So maybe that'll keep the temperature down. That'll keep the balls in check. And I can be a bit more patient with things. But I think that for me, the nature of the injury is the biggest concern here because back injuries do have a tendency to linger longer.
Yeah, no, they do. And that's, we've seen that a lot in baseball. We've seen that particularly, Jim, with Christian Yelich. Once he has that, you know, little flare-up, he usually misses 2-3 weeks. And a lot of people felt like that derailed the last couple of seasons for him. All right, Jim. Well, appreciate it as always. Thanks for coming on the show. I hope you enjoy the weekend. I don't know if you have a horse to pick for tomorrow. Do you even do horse racing? I mean, I feel like you must do everything, Jim. I've never asked about horse racing. Do you have a horse tomorrow in the Preakness?
If they offer me promos, I take them. That's my horse racing approach. If I get a promo, I'll take it. So it's very much like the fish type mindset. But hey, I admit what I am. I admit my faults. I'm not smart. So if I get a promo, I'll take it. That is my full strategy for horse racing.
All right, good enough. All right, Jim, thanks again. We will catch your work this weekend, Number Fire, FanDuel, and we'll catch up with you again next Friday. Thanks for coming up.
Thank you, Craig. Appreciate it. Talk to you then.
All right, Jim Sanis. Follow him on Twitter at Jim Sanis. No doubt. We will take a quick time out here on the show. We got Fantasy Reality, the Sports Grid 60. Davis is itching to jump back here on the show as we get ready to wrap up our week here on this Friday. Also, don't forget, coming up 2:00 Eastern, it's time for us to have another edition of Newswire. And guess who? Our buddy George Kurtz will be on the show talking about that huge upset in the NHL last night. Actually, 2 big upsets in the NHL. The Panthers are down 0-2 in their series as well. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What? Welcome back to Sports Grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish and Davis Maddock. Of course, we are getting ready for a big weekend of fantasy sports. We got to answer some questions here on the show, too. Before we do that, make sure you're following us on social media, on Twitter, at Sports Grid, and at Sports Grid TV for the latest news, notes, and information, picks against the spread from all of our hosts, comments, questions, anything that you could have. By the way, if you have a question for us, fantasy or reality, let us know. Tag us at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. So, Davis, naturally this weekend will be filled with golf, with basketball, with baseball. I always am interested in a Davis Maddock weekend. What does it look like this weekend for you?
Well, unfortunately, I have to travel for a wedding. So gassing up the car, traveling. It's actually in Oklahoma, about an hour and a half away from where they are playing the PGA Championship. I wish I would have realized that in advance. I would have sorted out tickets to go on Sunday to the PGA Championship, but I was a little bit too late to get, you know, hotel rooms and all that stuff planned out, so that is a little bit of a bummer. But I will be dialed in to the golf. I believe the Avalanche and the Blues play again tomorrow night, and then hopefully I will be there on Monday night. I will be in attendance for Game 4. That's the plan.
All right, cool enough. Let's kick it with some fantasy or reality. All right, Davis, it's time for game two of the NBA Finals, and Dallas takes on Golden State today. If game two looks anything like game one, the Warriors are going to win this game and cover. I mean, really. I mean, Dallas did not play well in the first game of this series. But let's ask the question, fantasy or reality, Davis, as we tip off tonight in California, the Dallas Mavericks will tie the series up at one tonight. Is that fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I got fantasy. I don't think so. I think the Golden State Warriors are the better team. I think they are likely the better offensive team. You know, if you think about it, like, okay, who do they have? Anyone that can match the singular brilliance of Luka Doncic? And they have two guys who can do that, right? They have Steph Curry, who is, you know, a gravity-defying force. He changes the entire way you have to defend them. Even though this actually is not his greatest offensive season, he struggled with his shot a little bit more this year than you would anticipate. And we really haven't gotten one of those Clay nuclear games. Definitely have not gotten one in the playoffs. We haven't even really gotten one during the regular season, where it seems like he doesn't even have to load his shot. It's just like someone passes him the ball, he's not even looking, it's all in rhythm, and the shots are just falling. And I mean, and the biggest thing that I think happened in game one was that the Mavericks were not able to play Kevon Looney off the floor. We talked about that in Fantasy or Reality 2 days ago, and I said, if they can't play Looney off the floor, I think they're going to have trouble. Looney didn't miss a shot, had, I think, 13 rebounds in game one. So I do not think the Mavericks are going to be able to even it up here.
Yeah, I'm going to say fantasy as well. By the way, I do think that there are some betting opportunities here for Dallas. And I really think that if Golden State wins tonight and covers the 6.5, I definitely will be on Dallas next game, because there's going to be an overreaction to that. I think the Mavericks are going to play well at home, but I don't know that there was a lot of takeaway. Like, I took away game one, Davis, of Boston, thinking, oh my gosh, like, that was the worst game they could possibly play. Their third quarter was terrible. They're getting 3.5. It's like, even if the Heat wins, it may be by one or two. And it, by the way, it didn't play out at all like that. I mean, Boston blew them out. But I didn't see anything from Dallas that made me think, like, oh yeah, they're going to be back in this thing and they're going to win game two. But I do think home cooking will work for them. They're probably going to end up being like a 1-point dog or 2-point dog, I would say, on Sunday. And I'll probably take Dallas. But tonight, I agree. I think Golden State does go up 2-0 in this series. And so fantasy for me as well. All right. A very hot topic in fantasy football circles, no doubt, will be the wide receiver of the New York Giants. And that, of course, is their former first round pick, Kadarius Toney. Don't know if the Giants would have, you know, looked back, revisionist history, and taken Toney again. On shows that Davis and I did all last year, Davis was bearish on Toney to begin. And then as the season went on, Davis said, wow, this guy Toney may actually be a player. Naturally, we've heard some stuff about him going on in the mini camps and the off season. You know, is he committed? Things along those lines. The Giants putting all the spin out there saying it's perfectly fine. So Davis is right now in best ball season, so we could ask him what kind of shares he has of Kadarius Toney. Fantasy reality, Kadarius Toney will be more boom than bust in 2022.
You know what? I started out last year out on Toney, but I think price adjusted, he is one of the best bets at wide receiver right now. He's going right about wide receiver 50, wide receiver 51 in early best ball drafts on Underdog right now. And I don't really see that many guys going around him who have the ability to finish as, you know, top 20 fantasy football wide receivers, because if the New York Giants plan is to use Toney in the way that, you know, and they brought the whole gang over from Buffalo, Brian Daboll, Joe Shands, et cetera, the quarterback's coach, they even tried to recruit the quarterback's coach and then he ended up staying because Josh Allen said, please don't leave me. But I mean, that is the role that Stephon Diggs used to be, you know, basically, I believe he finished as the number one wide receiver in fantasy football in 2020. So I'm pretty much all in on Toney. He's probably one of my most drafted players up until this point. Now, by the way, I think there's a very good chance it doesn't work out, right? Daniel Jones stinks. Kenny Galladay gets a little bit better. Their second round pick, Wandale Robinson, starts to eat into his slot snaps because, you know, very much unlike Toney, I think Wandale is the exact opposite in terms of temperament. Like, he's going to show up, work every day, never complain, do exactly what the coaches ask him. But Toney is definitely better than him. So it's kind of just a matter of what does the coaching staff decide to do with this guy?
Yeah, and look, him being on the field is going to be crucial. And when things happen with these sort of players, that's what you worry about. So if there are 17 games in the regular season, and I set a total of Toney playing over 13.5, I'd say fantasy on that. But I do think that there is something to his skill set. And again, watching players at the University of Florida, it's basically the one-stop shop for me in college football. I guarantee myself watching Gator games every week. I thought Toney was a star. So I definitely will say boom on the side of Toney. And I, by the way, don't think that it really matters for him who is at quarterback, because they're going to try to get him the ball as much as possible. I do worry a little bit, Davis, new regime, new people calling the shots. This wasn't our guy. You know, some of that does creep into my mind a little bit here, and I'm hoping that is not the case, but that does happen in sports sometimes when the you know, coach comes in, he's like, I didn't draft this guy, I don't need him anymore. So first round pick, though, I would think they gotta have a better investment there. Okay, so James Corden, whose run is coming to an end on late night TV, admitted the other day, Davis, that he washes his hair approximately once every 2 months. Now, hair conversation at this stage of my life is much better for you than it is for me, but I will attempt to answer this question as transparently as possible. But I will start with you. You are on board with this, fantasy or reality. Davis Maddock washes his hair every single night. Fantasy or reality, true or false?
Yeah, not even close. Not even close at all. It's bad for your hair. You are not supposed to be washing it every single day. The shampoo and conditioner is like, it does some beneficial things to your hair, but you definitely should not do it every other day. I am like a once every 3 days. Now I mean, I shower every day, obviously, right. But I definitely don't always. Now I'll get it wet, you know, just like if there's, you know, there could be dirt and grime in there, whatever, and I want to rinse it out, but I don't want to do the shampoo and conditioner every single day. Cause it like, Your hair is meant to have, like, you know, natural oils and stuff that comes out of your body, and that's like good for it and it keeps it healthy. So I am definitely a fantasy on this, not even close to washing my hair every single night.
Yeah, well, for me, we're struggling in this category, Davis, naturally here, pushing 50 years old. I can only hope that you have a better success rate than I do in this. I know right here it looks okay, but you don't want to see the overhead view or anything like that. But I will say reality. This is close to a reality for me. I mean, I guess I'm just doing it wrong here, and maybe that explains a lot. But, I mean, I would say at the very least it's 6 days a week, but most likely, Davis, it is a seven-day-a-week thing for me. Now, the other part of this that I would say is that 4 or 5 days a week I'm outside, and, you know, with little league ball and baseball and all these other things that I'm doing with my son, especially in Florida, Davis, and I don't know if that's a factor here, it's really hot. So to think that you could go in the shower and not do it here, I don't know. I guess I would have to like rethink the way that I shower. But Davis, it is brutally hot in Florida. And I think that just like naturally just plays a factor. You go in the shower, you think, oh, I got to wash my hair. And I think that's what happens for me. I think it's subconscious.
I mean, so Florida heat is definitely different, but it gets hot in the Midwest and it gets very humid and it's gross here too. It's definitely a different style of heat. But so my general rule is I'll wash my hair after like golfing. For sure, because mm-hmm. I mean, look, I'm out there. I'm a hack, you know. I'm getting dirt. I'm like underneath trees. It's like so. After when I get home from golfing, I'm definitely washing my hair, even if I happened to wash it the night before, because like who knows? But just like a standard, like I went to the gym this morning, mm-hmm. and probably when I shower tonight, I will not wash my hair because some sweat is like fine. Like you want sure. those natural oils, man. It's gonna keep your hair healthy.
Yeah, well, to me, it doesn't factor in as much. Before we go to the break, I want to ask you a quick question here. So, and I'm not throwing you under the bus. Don't take it as this. But going back to Kadarius Toney, so you know, a year and a half ago, you know, with the card grading, I send the cards into PSA, right? So Davis Maddock loves this guy Chenault on Jacksonville. So now I got some back, Davis. I need some advice here. Do I just sell these for like 20 cents on the dollar at this point? Do I just get rid of them, or do I hold and like wait for something here? Because he was one of your, I remember he was one of your guys. So I like bought in on that. Not a lot, like 10 bucks though. What do you think? Just get rid of him?
No, I would wait to see if Christian Kirk plays on the outside. If Marvin Jones gets hurt in training camp, if Zay Jones gets hurt in training camp, if Evan Engram gets hurt in training camp, or you know, if James Robinson is suffering coming back from this lower body injury, if they use him a little bit at running back, he played that position a little bit in college. And also, I mean, he's so tied to if Trevor Lawrence is going to be any good or not. Like if Trevor Lawrence is coming out and looks incredible in year two, you know, he's dropping dimes all over the place. The Jaguars are winning games. Like he's a super talented player who needs to be used in a very specific way. Just he's not very fast, right? At the end of the day, he's just not like a blazing fast guy. Right. And so he's got to be used in a specific way to be effective.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I got this order back the other day, 52 cards, and didn't even remember, honestly, what I sent in. And I had a couple of him, and a couple of Dylan, AJ Dylan, and a couple of Jefferson. So I felt like pretty good about two of the three. I don't even know if I like Dylan either. But I was like, I'm definitely going to hold those two for the football season. But do I even wait on Chenault? I guess that was my question. So question answered right there for me. Thank you. All right. Sports Grid 60 is coming up next. Don't forget Newswire coming up 2:00 today, Eastern. We will touch on the Stanley Cup playoffs. Dustin Gawker also from Legal Sports Report will be with us. So lots of fun stuff to discuss. That's later this afternoon right here on Sports Grid. We will be right back to wrap up our Friday edition of the show in just a couple minutes. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, it's time for the Sports Grid 60. This is 60 seconds of commentary from Davis and I. We're getting ready to wrap up our week. Both of us have big weekends ahead, so let's get right to it. Here's Davis.
Well, Craig, I gotta come clean. I was an MLB The Show addict last year. We talked about it a lot on the show, and I had not had my PlayStation plugged in for a long time, and I had not been playing FIFA. I hadn't bought FIFA 22. One of my friends messaged me that it was the free game this month if you have PlayStation Plus, which I do have, because you have to have that to play online. So I downloaded it, and I'm right back in the thick of it. Last night I was playing FIFA when the Blues Avs puck dropped. It's so easy to get right back in to those old habits. I need to make a mental note to myself to go touch some grass today so that I am not that I'm not stuck inside playing video games in what is maybe going to be one of the last days without oppressive heat here in the Midwest.
Yeah, my son has not played MLB The Show 22 as much as 21, but I don't know. That could change very quickly. School is definitely coming to an end. All right, a tradition like no other, not the Masters. It's afternoon baseball at Wrigley Field. And if you're wondering what the highest total in Major League Baseball in a single game is this season, I think it's today. I'm seeing 11 and a half runs. Wait a second, Arizona and Chicago? Why is this 11 and a half runs? Looks like the wind is blowing out at Wrigley Field. Now, this could go one way or the other. Either there could be 17 runs scored in this game. We've also seen the wind just all of a sudden start blowing the other way, and it's five. But trust me, later today on Newswire, we will be keeping an eye on this game. Total today, Arizona-Chicago, 11 and a half, 2:20 Eastern start. First day game this afternoon at Wrigley Field on a Friday. All right, that'll do it for our show today. Thanks, of course, to LTN and Danny and Ryan on the graphics. And for my producer, Brett Levy, and co-host Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. I will see you back here at 2 o'clock Eastern for our Friday edition of Newswire. Until then, have a great weekend. See ya.